Welcome to Because They Said You Couldn't, where we celebrate entrepreneurs who defy the odds and turn challenges into triumphs. I'm your host, Carrie Poppleton, here to bring you inspiring stories and insightful conversations with remarkable individuals who prove that limitations are only starting points. Hello and welcome to today's show. I am so excited for today's guest to share who she is and a little bit of her story. I'd like to welcome Julia Taylor, who is the CEO and founder of GeekPack, where she gets to support women in learning tech skills. So welcome here, Julia.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for the conversation today. And I've known Julia for a little while and find her incredibly inspiring. And she's just a lovely, delightful human. And I hope that the conversation today is very encouraging to the people that are listening and just help to find some inspiration as well as you're kind of, you know, going through the things that you are. So, Julia, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit more about GeekPack?
Yeah, of course. So I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, first of all, for having me. It's an honor. Let's see. So Julia Taylor, the CEO and founder of GeekPack, and we are on a mission to close the digital skills gap, primarily for women and minority-owned entrepreneurs or anyone who is just getting started with a business. And it's really that equipping them with the necessary tech skills, digital skills that you need in today's economy. I mean, we're in a tech-enabled world, so that's what we're providing to women and minority-owned business owners.
I love that. And like you said, such an incredibly powerful thing in the age that we find ourselves in where everything is so tech-related and not everybody feels that level of comfortability with tech and being able to kind of increase that. And it really opens the world up once you realize all of the things that are out there. So can you tell me a little bit about how you started GeekPack? Where did that come from and how did you develop those skills that kind of led you into this kind of business?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. So technically, my business journey, kind of entrepreneurial journey, started back in 2008. So what are we now? 2024. That was a long time ago. However many years that is, I can't do math that fast. Because I used to work for the U.S. intelligence community, and I lived in D.C. And back in 2008, I deployed to Afghanistan, and it was my first deployment to Afghanistan. And while I was there, I met my now husband. He is British. He was in the military. He has since retired. But we met, we fell in love, and I ended up leaving my job in DC with the government. And I moved to the UK, became a military wife, which I'm immensely proud of. But my career progression really took a nosedive. And I found myself kind of bouncing from 9 to 5 to 9 to 5 and didn't really have any excitement with my jobs, and I really wanted that kind of career progression back. So I ended up teaching myself tech skills using Google and YouTube, and I taught myself how to start a business. Back then, that's when I first started working with our joint kind of mentor business coach, Julie Chanel. So I started working with her way back in 2016 and taught myself how to build websites, how to code, how to do kind of techie stuff. I started a business, and then kind of fast forward to 2018, my husband retires from the military. We move into an RV and we decide to travel around the US to find out where we want to settle. And while I'm traveling, I'm sharing about my journey on social media, and people say, "We want to be able to do what you're doing. Can you teach us?" To which I said, "Yeah, sure." And that is where GeekPack came from. So we teach the same skills and you know, not only the tech skills, but also how to start a business, grow a business, so that women can have financial independence, they can have location independence, and they can kind of have that life that they want. So that's kind of my journey to where I am now.
Oh, I love that. I think it's so interesting too, how many businesses are really born out of kind of necessity or curiosity or those kinds of things. It's amazing how many people I speak with and how many business owners that I interact with that kind of say, you know, I started this business because I was looking for something different. Or, you know, and then the second part of your business of going and teaching people, that was really born out of people asking you to share what you had already known. So like really responding to kind of what your market was asking for. And I think that's just such an interesting way that businesses develop and that we're sometimes kind of pulled in directions that we didn't anticipate going in the first place, which is really, really cool. So when you were looking at starting your business in the first place, Was that something that you had seen examples of before? Like, what made you decide, hey, I'm going to start a business and have that seem like something that was attainable?
I never wanted to start my own business. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. It's not, it doesn't, you know, the it doesn't run in my veins, like you hear some people say. It was never something that I even remember to this day thinking to myself, I want to be someone's number two. I don't want to like be the one that starts the business. I wanted to be behind the scenes. And it was when I first started teaching myself all these skills and I learned how to build a website, it was a friend who said, oh, I need a website. Can you build it for me? And I'll pay you. And that's where I kind of thought, oh, hang on. Is that a business? Because it hadn't occurred to me. I was learning all these skills in order to get a job. I was looking for a remote job, and that's what I wanted. It never occurred to me to start a business. So I did that for him, and then that was around that time when our mutual business coach kind of I saw a Facebook ad for her, and it was, oh, I can have a business, and this is, you know, I already know how to do this thing. And that's what kind of got me on the journey. But I never had the intention to have my own business. The dream of being someone's number two and being behind the scenes, I think that's gone out the window now, but that's what I wanted.
That's definitely a big detour. I can definitely understand that. My husband always jokes that if I was going to write a book, it would be The Accidental Entrepreneur because I kind of stumbled into it as well. But I think sometimes that ends up with kind of the coolest stories and the neatest end results when we kind of, you know, just find ourselves in those positions. So as you were kind of learning how to do web design and as you were, you know, implementing this for the first person that had wanted you to build a site, what was it like going through and trying to teach yourself from YouTube? Were you excited about it? Was it frustrating? Like, how did you find that experience?
Interestingly, that was probably one of the more pivotal things that happened to me in this journey, because and really why the company name is GeekPack. So while I was teaching myself how to do these things, particularly how to code and web development, I was too cheap to go and like buy a legit course. I was just using Google and YouTube, mostly because I didn't believe in myself enough that I could learn something and then like turn it into a business. So I would just use Google and YouTube and kind of bumble my way through, but I would always come up against not knowing how to do something and like, oh, this isn't working, that isn't working. And if we've ever had any interaction with tech, we know the frustration of why isn't it working? It should work. It's supposed to work. And I would go into these online forums or, you know, these huge Facebook groups, and I would ask for help. And I would say, here's what I'm coming up against. This is the issue. Can anyone help? And sometimes people would help, but more often than I like to admit, I was made fun of and told, oh, if you don't know the answer to that, you shouldn't be doing this in the first place. And it was really discouraging and embarrassing, and it made me not want to ask questions. It slowed down my learning journey, and I remember thinking, like, you know, this is really crap. It's such a shame that that's the case. So when I decided to teach other people what I taught myself, not only did I want to make sure that what they were learning was like an actual curriculum and they would do it quicker than I did, but the main part is that there would be a community aspect where there is no such thing as a stupid question and where mean people are literally not allowed. And that is GeekPack. And that's why the name of the company is what it is, because we are a pack. We're this community where we encourage each other and we empower each other and support each other. Being geeks and asking questions is what you should be doing. And there's, you know, no such thing as a stupid question. So yes, I did have some not so good experiences, but it's kind of led me to where I am now.
I think it's incredible that you took those not so great experiences and figured out how you could better support people going forward to keep them from having that same experience that you had before. I think that's incredible. When you were in that situation, how did you keep going when you felt that, you know, frustration or embarrassment or, you know, those kinds of feelings? What helped you to keep going? Because a lot of people, when they're in situations like that, are like, you know what, that's it. You know what, maybe this isn't the right thing for me. Maybe I shouldn't be in these forums. Maybe I shouldn't be asking these questions. How do you keep going in the face of that?
I mean, to be honest, I stopped for quite a while. So when I first started teaching myself, it was 2014, and I didn't set up the business until 2016. So it took me 2 years of bumbling around and, asking for help and getting knocked down, and then I would not do anything for like a month, and then I would come back to it. And I think it wasn't until I found Julie's group, and I realized that there were nice people on the internet that were helpful, that I really started to put a lot more effort into it. So it did affect me. It slowed me down, and I took time off. I took time away, and I didn't do anything, and I didn't believe in myself. And I think my husband's always been a huge supporter, and apart from the few websites that I built that kind of kept me going, and they were family and friends, that was probably a combination of those things that just kind of kept me going. So other people believing in me more than myself.
Yeah. So was there something that kind of pushed you over the edge eventually that was like, no, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to step forward. I'm going to turn this into a business. Was there something that happened, or was there an interaction that you had, or something that kind of just made you be like, yes, I can totally do this?
That's such a good question. Let me think. When I in 2016, from 2016 until about 2020 is when I had my own kind of agency where I was working with clients, and I was building websites and doing kind of digital marketing strategy and all of that. But at the same time, I think it was honestly, I just kind of moved into it and just one foot in front of the other. So there wasn't really like a thing that tipped me over the edge. But as far as how the company is now, because I don't work with clients anymore, it's 100% just on the education side. It was absolutely in, actually, we're coming up on our 6 year anniversary of GeekPack and the education side of the company. And it was 6 years ago when I attended one of the in-person mastermind events, and I learned kind of how to do, how to launch a product, because that's what it was. And I just put it out there, and it, I think we had like 60 people join in the first like launch, and it was when other people kind of said, "Yes, we believe in you. Yes, we like the way you do things. We want to be a part of what you're doing." That was absolutely the pivotal time of, okay, cool. This is a viable thing. I can teach other people to do the stuff that I taught myself to do and make that an impactful business. So that was a pretty cool thing 6 years ago.
I think sometimes we need to borrow other people's belief, as you kind of said, that sometimes it's hard to kind of stir that up in ourselves. But when other people can speak into you and say, no, you're completely capable of doing this, you have the skills, you have the abilities. And, obviously to get that kind of feedback on a course to launch it and have that many people join right away, that's amazing. As you kind of said, how important the community aspect is for GeekPack, how do you see that community aspect impacting the students that are in the course now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we see is the peer-to-peer learning aspect is huge. And I don't think I ever would have realized how valuable that is, where when someone comes in and they're brand new and they're learning something they've never really done before, or that they might have perceived as hard, and they're learning, and there's going to be frustrations, and they're going to stumble. But when they come into the community and kind of ask a question, the response that they get from other students, whether it's us or other students, and say, "Oh, I can help you with that," that's really impactful for the individual who's asking the question. But we've found it's also equally impactful for the student who's answering, because they're answering and helping someone else with something that they used to think was hard and they didn't know how to do. And it's that kind of that cycle where we have new students and past students helping each other out, building confidence. It's just a real magical thing that happens in there. So.
I think for a lot of people that I speak with who kind of have work in traditional places of employment or have more traditional businesses, I think one of the things that I hear a lot is in the online space, it must just be very lonely and isolating because you're always by yourself and you don't get to connect with people. But I think for those of us who work in the online space, I think we would say, you know, at least I would, that the community aspect of it is actually incredible in masterminds, in the groups like the one that you're creating, where people can support and encourage each other and help to uplift each other and share the things that they have learned. It's such an incredible way that the internet lets us be able to connect with people that we otherwise would never have met, right? Like I probably would never have met you had the internet not existed, right? Our paths probably would not ever have crossed. And I just think, you know, be able to find those pockets online of those safe places and the places where we can feel heard and encouraged and all of those things is so incredible. And I love that that's been such an important part of what you're building and making sure that your people have that kind of community. I think that's incredible. How would it have changed things for you to have that kind of community when you first got started, you know, at the beginning of your business?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And that's exactly why I created the community along with all the other resources and the course is just for that reason. If I'd had what I have now created, it wouldn't have taken me 2 years to learn and to implement and to get the clients. It would have been much, much quicker. And I think that's in addition to speeding up and, you know, lessons learned that I would rather my students not have to go through, but also having other people around who are going through similar things. And like that really is what I wished I'd had. And that's exactly how I've created the program based on my own personal experience.
That's incredible. So you've kind of gone from learning the skill to have being a service provider to teaching other people how to do it. And I know that you have some really big dreams of what you want GeekPack to become and how you want to be able to serve people. Can you talk a little bit more about kind of that bigger mission that you have in mind and vision for the business?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do. We dream very big. I'm just going to grab something off my table over there. One of my team members got me this for my birthday last year. And this is what we do. We dream really, really big. And our big, hairy, audacious goal of a vision is to empower over 1 million women and minority-owned business owners by 2030. So we've got a very big number, a very big vision. And to be honest, I have absolutely no idea how we're going to do that. But that's okay because it gives me... I call them vision goggles, where I'm like, you know, like the horse with the blinders, like that's what I'm going for. And when I have, you know, conversations with potential corporate sponsors or nonprofits or whatever that looks like, because we work direct to consumer, but we're also looking to reach out to organizations so we can get our content in front of even more women. And that's kind of a direction that we're going in. That could be what unlocks, you know, 100,000 or 200,000 or whatever that is. So we're being very lenient on ourselves. We don't know exactly how we're going to do that, but it opens us up to saying yes to a lot of things we probably wouldn't have said yes to if we didn't have such a big dream.
So how do you dream big like that? I'm not a visionary, like at the very far end visionary spectrum. I'm kind of like in the middle, right? I'm sort of a visionary integrator mix. And so when you started to kind of think about what you want that big, hairy, audacious goal to be, did you start off something smaller and then kind of go no bigger, no bigger, no bigger and go that way? Or was this the first thing that kind of came to mind? Like, this is the impact I want to be able to have.
Yeah. So I went through I'm trying to think when this was. I believe it was fall of 2021, if I remember correctly. I went through maybe a six or eight week kind of become a CEO course, kind of is what it was. And as part of that, to this day, I will never forget, as part of that, the very first thing we did was mission, vision, and core values. And I remember seeing it on the schedule and thinking, oh, you know, mission, vision, core values, like, you know, that's boring and you got to have it. And it's just, you just put it on your website, so you have it there. And that was the most important thing that I probably have done in the business to date, because it gave me an option to like stop thinking about the business all the time and go, okay, what is our mission and what is our vision? And I was given permission to dream big with a vision. And with the vision, the whole idea was how many and over what time period. So back in 2021, the vision that we came up with was 100,000 in the next 5 years. Now, interestingly, I just kept saying that. I never said the next 4 years or the next three. It never got less. I just kept saying 100,000 in the next 5 years. I didn't know how we were going to measure that, none of that. So it was last summer, I had a team retreat here in Colorado. So I flew my whole team out and we all got together and we said, okay, are we happy with this vision or do we want to change it and co-create and make it different? And we did. We thought, you know what? Let's go big. So we said 1 million, but we put a date on it rather than in 5 years. So it was 1 million by 2030. And we continue to use that number. Interestingly, here's something that, there's been so many instances over the last year and a half where, because I have that vision, 1 million by 2030, other people hear me say that and they go, oh, no way, I know someone, or, that's so cool. I had a call this morning with a huge, like, name brand company that just about anyone would know the name of the company. And they heard me speak on stage a few weeks ago at a conference. And they said afterward, they said, your vision is exactly the same as ours. Let's work together. Like, just that one thing. And we could now have this partnership with a massive brand. So it's having just having that vision and that, and telling people what it is, people remember that. So it makes you kind of memorable. But someone else gave me permission to dream that big. It wasn't something that I just went, hey, I'm going to be a visionary and have this massive number. Somebody else gave me that permission.
And incredibly powerful how identifying that and speaking that out helps you to connect with other people who have very similar visions. I think a lot of us have these big dreams and we tend to kind of keep them a little quiet and think, oh my goodness, that's way too big of a dream for me to have. Like, who am I to be able to accomplish that thing? But then when you start to hear that other people are dreaming big like that, I think, you saying that gives other people who hear it permission to also dream big like that. And to have a big thing that they're aiming for and a big impact. And I think when you can find those people that have that same impact goal in mind, those are such great partnerships because you're really, your values are aligned. You're working towards that same goal. And how great to be able to find other people to come alongside you and help you towards that goal as you help them towards their part of the goal, right? I think that's beautiful. Do you, when you're looking for team members, is that something that you look for as well to find people that are really kind of bought into that same vision and they understand that that's where you kind of want to go and why you want to, that you want to impact individual lives? Like, it's not just about building the business, but you want to see transformation in people.
Yeah. Interestingly, yes, absolutely. Like, that's, I hire for passion because I am pretty sure I can teach anyone just about anything that needs to be done. Now, of course, there are some people who are more ops oriented and more marketing oriented, but hiring for passion has been something that we've done from the beginning. And interestingly, to date, every single one of my full-time, even part-time team members was a student of mine first. So they came through the program, they did that peer-to-peer support in the group. They did it without asking for anything. And I have plucked them out and said, you're awesome, you're awesome, you're awesome. Come and join the team. And they already believe in it. They already believe in the mission and they want to be a part of it. And I had probably a few months ago, I had one of our students reach out, Facebook message, and she says, I've been delaying sending this message. I don't want to, I don't want to offend. I don't want to do anything wrong, but I just need to say, if you're ever looking for another team member, here's my experience. I would love to be a part of anything that Geekpack is doing. And you know what? She's now on the team. So She reached out and I went, oh, cool. I didn't know she was interested. We have a spot that is needed for her skill set, and she's now a part of it. So I love that. I love getting to bring students on as team members because they love it and they believe in it.
The power of shooting your shot, right? Of actually going for it and speaking it out and asking, again, I think that especially for people as they're starting businesses, that's something that's scary. It's a muscle you have to develop, right? Of, being okay with putting yourself out there and having somebody say no. And that's not a bad thing if they say no. It just means it's not the right opportunity, but that you get to find the next one that is a better fit and you've had the practice of asking and, that's always a good thing. So when you are kind of looking at the next few years, or even, kind of the next few months, how do you keep reminding yourself of that vision? Like on a day-to-day basis, that's one of the things I struggle with is like, it's great to have like the overarching idea of things, but like practically on an ongoing basis, when, your own tech in your business isn't working or something happens in the middle of a launch or something like that, how do you remind yourself that this is what you're working towards, so that you can kind of keep going with like optimism and with excitement?
Interestingly, it's exactly what I'm doing right now. It's speaking to people, saying the vision over and over again, whether it's podcasts or speaking at events on stage or networking. I was down in Albuquerque, New Mexico this past weekend for an event, and I said it, it was a grant. We were awarded a grant, and I got one of those big novelty checks, which was awesome. So I'm kind of holding that, and I had 90 seconds to talk about the company. And any opportunity that I get to speak in front of people, whether it's virtual or in person, I always throw in what our vision is. Because I need to be reminded, it's actually one of my KPIs, like as the CEO, one of my KPIs is how many times in a week am I saying what our vision is. It's good for me. It's good for my team to hear it and to see it. It's a good reminder. And it helps me keep like my priorities straight as well, because you mentioned, oh, tech's not working or something with the launch. Well, I'm fortunate in that there's people on my team that will handle that. I'm pretty outside of the day-to-day for the most part. So that frees me up. I mean, just today I had that call with that big brand. I had another call with a fellow that I met in China for another fellowship program. And, like I'm trying to do the, as my husband refers to it, as the up and out and be the visionary. And because talking to people and telling people what we do, that gets them excited and they want to be a part of what we're doing, which is going to filter down to my team and the brand and the community and the company. So it's trying to prioritize my time as the founder and where I should spend my energy versus kind of the day-to-day, which I love, like the nitty-gritty and the detail and the day-to-day, but that's not where I should be. So it's taken a long time for me to kind of get out of the day-to-day and focus on the up and out.
Was it a bit of a process for you to be able to start letting go of things bit by bit? Did you have to be like super intentional with it? And did your team members have to kind of encourage you to let things go? How did you do that?
Oh gosh, it's taken years, and it's not, I wouldn't say, I mean, it wasn't perfect, it was slow, it was clunky, it didn't work all the time. It was a typical kind of like, I would say, all right, you do it, and then I would get involved, and then they would ask me and I would get involved, and I would say, no, I don't want to be involved, and it was a lot of back and forth. And I want to say we've probably been trying to figure it out for at least a couple years. And it's only been in the last, I'd say, well, genuinely, this year, because I've traveled more for work this year than I ever have before. So speaking at conferences, going to events, all of those things require so much of my focus and energy because they exhaust me. So I pretty much just said I can't do all those things anymore because I have to do these things. It was a forcing function. Whereas if I'm here in my office, in my home all the time, I will just work all the time and I will get involved in the day to day. But I literally just don't have the time anymore. So it was a forcing function because I just haven't been around that much.
I hope that's actually really encouraging to the people listening, because I think that there's certain metrics, or not even metrics, but things that happen in our business that I think we start to judge how good of a business owner we are based on our ability to do certain things. But everybody comes in with such different skill sets and experiences and personality types and all of the things that no two business owners really look alike, right? And if you are someone who loves the details, it's really hard to extricate yourself from that. Some people don't want the details and they're like, absolutely, somebody take it off my hands as soon as possible. But if you're the type of person who likes them, it is really, really hard to let go of them. And I think it's really encouraging to hear that, you know, that's okay if that's where you're starting from, but it is possible to do it bit by bit. And whether the business forces you to do that or time constraints or other things like that, that, you know, it's a process and it's something that you're always learning and growing in. It's not like you just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're just this, you know, world-class delegator. It's a process. So when you're talking about, you know, having this mission and this vision and wanting to be able to have an impact of, you know, these million women's or women or, you know, other people who are kind of in areas that maybe don't have a lot of access to tech normally, what kind of impact are you hoping to see in individual lives?
Oh, yeah, great idea. So we're actually going through a process right now and we're digging a lot deeper into impact measurement and impact metrics. And what does that really look like? It's not just words on a website. What is that transformation? You said at the beginning, you know, we're looking for transformational change in individual lives. So what exactly are we looking for? We're looking for how many women started a business, how many lasted beyond that kind of crucial 1 year mark. Do they have increased revenue than what they had before? And are they creating jobs? Are they kind of hiring more people? So those are just a handful of the metrics that we're looking at. There's so many others that, let's see, those are quantitative metrics. We have lots and lots of qualitative metrics. We have testimonials. We have the storytelling. We have case studies where, and like confidence building. Like, it's hard to measure confidence, isn't it? Like, how many jobs did you create? 4. How much did your confidence increase? It's just not as tangible. So we were looking at impact from both qualitative and quantitative perspectives and trying to kind of marry the two, because storytelling is so powerful, but data is also very powerful. So we want both, and we want to make sure we kind of bring those together as we kind of continue into the future.
Well, you know, my numbers nerd heart is very happy to hear that, because I think that the numbers are really important to tell those stories and to be able to rely on. And I love that you're measuring things that are a little bit different. Like, a lot of businesses just kind of look at their own metrics, you know, their sales, their marketing metrics, those kinds of things. And I love that you're really focusing on your students' results as well, to be able to say, how well are we actually fulfilling that? It's one thing to get somebody into a course. It's another thing to be able to help them affect enough change in their lives that it's going to have a long-term impact, right? So I think that's incredible that you've been able to kind of focus in on that and really prioritize their success as a metric of your business's success overall. So I think that's amazing. And not a lot of businesses are able to kind of make that shift and that change. So I think that's amazing. For the students that are in your course right now, can you give a couple of examples of things that they've accomplished or some of the most, I don't know, interesting or encouraging results that you've seen from your students? Like, what, when you see something in the Facebook group or you see a result, what's the kind of thing that just like lights you up and you're like, I'm going in the right direction because this is having an impact?
Yeah. Oh, so many. It's one of those moments where like all these student faces like flash before my eyes. Let's see. So I think when someone leaves their 9 to 5, that's always like really exciting when we get the, you know, the posts where it's, you know, I've done it. I've left my 9 to 5, because their income from what we've taught them is more than what they were making in their 9 to 5. When they get their first client, That's always like an awesome when they like legit start the business. So they decide on their business name, they go and get the LLC, they get the business bank account, like all of those kind of, boring things that really need to happen. But also we want our students to do that because there's an identity shift. Like when you set up a business, you step into that like identity of a business owner. You think like a business owner, you make decisions like a business owner. So we want them to do that early on. When they hit revenue targets, revenue goals, those are always exciting, whether it's, I just charged my first, five figures for a website or, those sorts of things. And then we get so many where it's, I went to an in-person event and I spoke to someone and I told them what I do. Like even just those, I say small, it's not small because for a lot of us, in-person events are difficult and networking is just outside of our comfort zone. And I constantly kind of challenge my students, like join the Chamber of Commerce, go and sit down and ask a stranger, what do you do? Because more than likely they will ask you what you do, and then you can tell them what you do. And they'll probably say, oh, no way, I know someone who needs a website. So hearing about those smaller steps with our students where they spoke to someone in real life and they told them what they do and they had a positive interaction from it, even just things like that, I love. So across the whole kind of range, we have it all.
That's incredible. And I love that you borrowed some people's belief in you when you were first starting out, and now your students get to borrow your belief in them as they go through the course and they're empowered as they learn these different skills and encouraged to step out of their comfort zones and talk to people they normally wouldn't talk to. I just love how you kind of like pass that along to the next person, and then hopefully they get to do that too. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about being a business owner is that ripple effect that you get to have and see how the little things that you're doing end up being really big things that then kind of get passed along and passed along, as it goes down the line. So if you were talking to somebody who was looking at, having this big vision and looking at trying to find a way to fulfill it, maybe they're discouraged, maybe they're like, wow, that's a really big goal and I don't know if that's, actually, if it's possible for me to be able to do it, what would be encouragement that you would give them?
I would challenge them to have those, vision goggles that I mentioned, like the blinders on the horse, or you get rose-colored glasses, like having vision goggles where when you're faced with making a decision, when you're faced with an opportunity, when you could do this or you could do that, run it through your kind of vision goggles, like, is that going to get you closer to your vision? And if so, the answer is yes. If not, the answer is probably no, or reassess it. And as a people pleaser, that's been really helpful for me because I want to say yes to everything. But if it's not getting me closer to our vision, I really need to make sure that, especially as the leader of the company, I would be doing my team, the company, our community, and the women we have not reached yet a disservice if I don't focus on that vision. And it's almost a little bit selfish of me because I'm in the seat to drive the vision. So if I don't, I could be doing a disservice to people I don't even know. So that's how I kind of stay on track, or at least I try to. And it also just makes it really clear about what you should and shouldn't be doing. It kind of takes the emotion out of, oh, this really big goal of a vision. Well, yeah, it is. So go for it. Like just keep going towards that goal and make decisions that will get you closer to that.
Thank you for sharing that. I actually find that very encouraging as a fellow people pleaser. And, it's easy to kind of get pulled off track a little bit, I think, because you genuinely want to help people. But recognizing that by saying yes to one thing, you're saying no to other things. And maybe the thing that you're saying no to is actually the thing that will get you more impact down the road. So I think that helps to really reframe that a bit rather than saying, you know, this is just something I don't want to do or something like that. It's like, no, I want to be able to have the biggest impact possible. Therefore, I'm going to make the decisions that serve that in the best possible way. So I really appreciate that perspective. And it makes me really want to go back and kind of reassess my vision and be able to be like, is this big enough? And is this something that's going to help to guide decision making? And if not, then I probably need to reassess that and get more granular and be able to understand it better. So thank you so much for all of this today. I think this has been really interesting to kind of hear your journey and the things that you've learned along the way and then how you pass those along to other people, which I think is, you know, it's one thing to learn the things, but to be able to take the lessons that you've learned and then be able to share them with other people and help empower them as well. That's just incredibly inspiring. And I really appreciate you sharing all of that. And if people want to learn more about what you do and also to connect with you, where's the best place that they can find you?
Yeah, of course. So the easiest place is probably geekpack.com. You know, just go to our website. We're also Geekpack on Instagram and on Facebook and LinkedIn. I mean, all the places you can find us as Geekpack. But yeah, it's been a real pleasure. And thank you for having me on, not only because it's a joy and an honor to be here, but it's an opportunity for me to remind myself why I am doing the things that I'm doing and talking about our vision is part of that. So thanks for being an outlet for me to be able to talk about it.
Oh, you bet. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate getting to see you walk through this as well. It's just incredibly encouraging and to see the impact that you're having on so many different people as well. It's always great to get to like cheer people on that are having such a positive impact. So thank you so much. And yeah, if you want to connect with Julia, check her out at geekpack.com. And thank you so much for listening today. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Because They Said You Couldn't. I hope today's stories inspired you to see challenges as opportunities and to push beyond your limits. Remember, every setback is a setup for an even greater comeback. Stay courageous, keep dreaming big, and join us next time for more tales of incredible resilience and triumph.